Yo, welcome everyone to a brand new episode of Creative Conversations, where you just hear a couple artists shoot the shit and I ask questions in between. We're about to have some fun tonight. Tonight we have a very special guest. She is smart. She is bright. She is beautiful. She is a big ray of sunshine that is going to make you smile no matter what kind of day you're having. Please give a warm welcome to my good new friend, Yaya. How you doing tonight?
Hello, hello. Thank you so much for having me. Your intros are the best. I promise you they are. I promise you. But I didn't think I had it. I think I got it now.
Oh, no, you definitely got it. You've been had it. I'm just now discovering it. You know what I'm saying? I need some of that energy coming my way. <You're so sweet. laughs> Well, welcome to the show. So glad you were able to take some time out to speak to little old me for a second.
Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
It's no problem at all. No problem at all. But do me a quick favor. Just tell the people a little bit about yourself.
My real name is Yashika Bethel, and I am a TikTok creator. Mm-hmm. And I go by that Yaya lady. To give you a little background on how I got my name, when I first started my page, my name was Yaya with the eyes. And I found when people had beef with me, they would call me that Yaya lady, trying to be slick. So I just took the name and went with it. Because you can say it either way, that Yaya lady. Or you're like, you know what? I really like that Yaya lady. And I just figured it rang and it was memorable. And it has worked for me ever since. And like most people, I got started on TikTok due to COVID. You know, you're stuck in the house. Mm-hmm. You find it. You realize you don't know how to dance. And you come up with something else, and mine was just running my mouth, and that was it. And it has been working ever since.
Oh, I love that. She said, I don't know how to dance, so I'm going to do something else. And you made it work for yourself.
I did. I appreciate that.
Oh, it's no problem. I act like I can dance. Like, you know, I pretend I have rhythm. I can become an actor, really.
I can swivel my hips, but I cannot step. I cannot coordinate. I can't do jazzercise. I can't do step. I can't do coordinated. I can barely do any type of party shuffle. They want me to, but I can't do it. It's bad.
Hey, you know what? Just dance to your own beat of your own drum. You know
That's
what I'm
it.
Saying?
That's all you life.
Exactly. Exactly. So when I first discovered your content, I was on TikTok. I was pretty new. But my algorithm always showed me like social commentary. And outside of certain posts that you have, that's pretty much your realm. You mm-hmm. just speak your mind on different things. And I remember there was one and I was like, let me comment. And I believe I commented at the time. My girl would tell me, hey, you know, let me know when you make it home safe, no matter, you know, what's happening with it. She always texts me to make sure I made it home, stuff like that. And
yes. The little things that your partner does to let you know that they love you. Yeah,
exactly. And so I was like, okay, that Yara lady got some heat. So let me follow her. You know, maybe one of these days I'll be able to talk to her. And as I'm seeing your follower count steadily grow and all that, and you just constantly bring out content, no matter what you're talking about, you're like, I like strawberries and strawberries are good. You can have it with sugar, no sugar, and mm-hmm. you're still good. Have a good day. And I'm like, yes, double tap on this. You know, and it's just the energy that you bring.
I appreciate that. I really, really do. And I try. I put forth a special effort to bring a room together. You know, if you can't do it, it's so many people that are dividing a room. If you can bring a room together of many different people, you're special. You're doing something different. And once I found out that that's really the point of view that I want to have and the message that I want to have, I really focus on that. Now, of course, there's certain conversations that I have that I don't mind having to fight about. Sure. But I also don't mind listening too. And that's the balance. And once I realized, hey, this might be my niche to listen, to share some stuff, get other people's point of view, it just blossomed from there. And I'm glad that you picked up on it. And that means I'm doing something right. I really appreciate that.
I mean, granted, they have dope content, but there are a lot of people that are argumentative. And for you, if you think something is dumb, You're going to tell us why you think it's dumb versus just arguing with the people that are in your comments disagreeing with your point. But those who make a good point, you'll even stitch their entire video and you'll be like, yo, let me show you my facial expressions on how I truly feel in real time. Right. You know, those are different details that I've definitely noticed, so that when you give people a chance to really speak their mind, and then they really get to see your true reaction without always having to type it out and then interpret what you're saying.
I'm glad that you brought that up, because I want to give a special shout out to a creator that gave me that platform. There's a creator by the name of Silver Fox, Silver and then Fox with two X's on the end. Mm-hmm. I had said something that had the biggest backlash that I was not expecting. And it hurt me to my core, because that was not my intention for saying it. And the confusion that I had and the hurt that I had almost shut me down.
Really?
Yes, it was really, really bad, because it wasn't my heart that I said it, and it was a hard conversation. It was about being a light-skinned woman, and the comments that I get from Black men about dating, because I talk about different things, dating being one of them.
Yeah.
And I talk about white passing, and the conversation I wanted to have was, Black women, you say Black men treat you a certain kind of way. And what I'm saying is, because I'm in this room, they get real comfortable with me, just like a lot of people get comfortable around me because I'm racially ambiguous. This is the stuff that they're saying, if you really want to know.
Mm.
But the crowd turned on me and it hurt me, because it wasn't my intent to hurt anybody.
Right.
And there's that creator, the Silver Fox. She said, this is possibly why you got the reaction that you got. And I do edit her response. And that was it. It made me different, because I listened to her, and what she said was a valid point that I never thought about. Mm-hmm. My perspective, my appearance gave me a different point of view. And for that reason, I got to be very mindful of what I say and how I say it, because mm-hmm. that is a hurt. It's a painful conversation. And once mm-hmm. I did that, it opened the door to all type of topics like that. Everything. The ones that I have input on, the ones I know a smidgen of the conversation, but more people want to add on to the topic.
Mm-hmm.
It really opened up the platform to listening. And it also opened up the platform for people critiquing me.
Yeah. Okay.
When you're the creator that knows everything, you can never say you don't know it. You got to fight everything, because this is your platform.
Right.
But since I was given that grace, I'm able to give that grace. And I'm constantly able to get it from other people. They know how to approach me. You didn't get that right, or you got that half wrong. Let's talk about this a little bit. Mm. And I think more and more people just want to be heard. I may not be an expert, but I could tell you what's happening on my end.
Oh man, what? See, this episode, y'all are going to get some wisdom, okay? I'm just you know what I'm saying? This is more than just the experience as an artist. Y'all are just trying to get the life lessons. You heard it here.
You got me. You wanted me. You got me.
I got it. I'm telling you. But that makes sense. That makes perfect sense to really absorb that lesson and be able to dissect it, take mm-hmm. responsibility for what type of feelings you may have, you know, bestowed upon people, and then learn from it. And at the same time, use it as a tool, not only to just get popular on TikTok, which isn't the case. You just really want to give people the opportunity to have a conversation versus listening and argue. And I love
Correct. And it felt good. That mistake almost shut my whole spirit down.
Wow.
Because it was a community that I am. You may not see it when you look at me, but I am a Black woman. My mom's a Black woman, my sister, my aunties. And when the whole room turned on me, it hurt me and it confused me.
Yeah.
But then when she gave it to me in a different perspective, okay, I could take that in. Okay.
Okay. So let me ask this then. With the mm-hmm. experiences that you've had on social media, I mean, you definitely garnered some major attention, some positive, some negative, mm-hmm. but there's always a starting point for people when they get into the type of craft they're in. So with that being said, what type of experiences have you had that pretty much got you into the position that you are today in order to be in the position that you are? I asked that twice, but still, it's dope. just what kind of experiences have you had coming into social media, you know what I'm saying, that really nurtured your ability to speak to people?
what really, I think, nurtured me into this is my I am flawed approach.
Okay.
I think for a very long time, and this was all coming before I got here, but my timing was perfect. We're pulling back the curtain on this whole perfection of love, this whole perfection on influencers, this whole perfection of, you know, I got the money to buy everything, or I have the perfect relationship, I have the perfect kids, I have a perfect home. And I think my voice is very much so, I get it wrong. I've gotten it wrong. But that doesn't mean I'm broken. And that doesn't mean that you're broken. Don't think that the women who really got into these relationships that they're happy in, that they didn't go through some knuckleheads. And please do not think that they were perfect in every relationship. They messed up some stuff too. And I'm willing to have the conversation. Here's where I messed up. This is the lesson that I had to learn. And I'm, because I learn like that. I've spoken before that I have two mothers, my birth mother, and then I have my second mother. My birth mother was very much so Charleston, South Carolina, do what I say, how I say it, I'm gonna pop you. But my second mother, who was very much so, I'm gonna tell you why you shouldn't do it, because I messed up on it. And this is what happened to me. And now you're grown. You could do whatever you want to do, but I'm telling you, you shouldn't do that. And when you do mess up, I'll help you, but I'm not going to clean it up for you.
Right.
And that type of lesson is how I learned it. So I figured there were people out there that needed to learn that lesson as well. And I think as long as I keep that sincerity, it will keep going. Some of the hard lessons that I had to learn on social media, one is finding my voice.
Yeah.
I tried to do just political, but it was very saturated. I tried to do comedy, but living in a COVID, post-COVID world, I wasn't always happy. And there are some heavy things out here to talk about. I also had to learn the hard words way that words mean everything, but they mean nothing at the same time.
Okay.
You have to be mindful of your word choice.
Right.
But you can't please everybody with your words, because somebody out there is going to pick apart everything. And as long as you're prepared to take the fight that comes with whatever you're saying, say it. If you're not prepared for the fight, don't post it. Back down. Talk about something else. And that's kind of a lesson that I have learned to keep me going.
It's kind of like, I don't know if you watch Little Fires Everywhere.
I don't watch that.
Okay, so Little Fires Everywhere was, I believe it was Reese Witherspoon and Kerry Washington. Kerry Washington worked for Reese Witherspoon cleaning her house. And Reese Witherspoon had a daughter who was very, very, I guess, like political. She was definitely always had something to say. But when she got to Kerry Washington, she wasn't having that. Her character wasn't having it. And she challenged the way she thought. And so, for example, you know, I'm with Black people, but, you know, you're a white face. It may not translate the way you think it is.
Correct. Correct.
Right. So when she got challenged, she tried to back down and she felt sorry. Like, okay, I guess I just can't do it. And she said, no. She said, you can't challenge someone and not be afraid to, or you, and not be expected to get challenged back.
Correct. If you could take the hit, jump in the ring.
Yeah.
If you can't take the hit, you're not made like that. You can't do it. Then go sit down. Go do something else. Because this social media thing, this influencer thing, whatever you want to call it, it can be a beast. And it can either, you can make it a beast, or the crowd will turn on you, or you gotta be in the fight with it. But you gotta know it is a fight. It's not all peaches and cream.
No, I get that. And speaking of fight, you know, fights have preparation. Fight has training. Fight has experience. For you, you mentioned earlier that you're definitely careful about your words and the topics that you discuss now, based on, you know, your previous experience when you got your backlash. With that being said, what does your process look like before posting a pretty open discussion with your followers? What does that process look like for you to get prepared?
Well, some of it is whatever the hot topic is. There are hot topics. If you go to a lot of the creators, we're all talking about the same stuff.
Sure.
And then there's also a level of You do have to be mindful of your words, but here's a little trick too. You
Okay.
got to leave the conversation open just enough for debate.
Hmm.
You don't want to shut down thought. Even though I have a perspective, I'm learning that I don't have to put all my opinion out there up front. And sometimes it's good to get everyone else's opinion so that you can have a better response to something.
Sure.
So I prep with the hot topics, but I also leave a little wiggle room up for discussion because I do want my platform to be a discussion platform in addition to my jokes and things that I throw out there.
Of course.
But I am very mindful. First thing that I think of, if I put this out here, am I ready for this fight? Because it's weird. No matter what you say, sometimes there's going to be people who just want to fight you.
Yeah, no, for
Like
sure. For sure.
I today I post a lot of videos of me reacting to jokes because if I think it's funny, I think people are going to find be think it, they want to see it. And
Sure.
someone commented today, "Oh, just posting you laughing. How funny is that?" It was like, "Are you serious? Like you're really mad that I'm laughing." It's weird, but it just comes along with the job.
No, for
It just
sure.
comes along with it.
Yeah, you got to have a pretty shitty day to get mad at somebody
Exactly.
at a joke on their page. That's you went out of your way. You went out of your way to say, "Hey, I don't like the fact that you laugh. Not this
You're
joke, not but the fact that you laugh today pissed me off." And it's like, all right, bro. So I promise you, if you change the cereal you eat, if you drink some more water, if you watch a cartoon, something that made you happy in the past, now, or present, or future, I promise you her laugh will be the least of your worries for the day.
Exactly. And you just got to learn how to take it. There was right before the beginning of May, I found myself chasing those comments. And I had to pull back from it. I had to pull back from social media. And I tapped out for a week because you do find yourself going into that realm. And you don't, and it's weird. I found when I was able to backtrack a little bit, the reason why I did it. Because it only takes one person to change the whole room on you.
That's
You
true.
know? And I was so busy trying to catch that one person that I'm not focused on the people who do love me, the people who do want to maybe listen to me, maybe give me a chance.
Sure.
And if you keep chasing the negative comments, then you won't be having fun. And you got to pull yourself back from that. But that is the tricky part of social media. You can catch yourself in that world very easily, very easily.
I mean, people forget that, when it comes to the creative process, it's fun when you do it on your own, but then when you put it out there, you're allowing
Yes.
people to critique you and you're still human.
Yeah.
So it's like,
Yeah.
oh, it's only social media. Well, people make up social
Mm-mm.
media. People that like, people
Mm-hmm.
made it and gave us a platform and we use it how we see fit. And so when you're seeing a whole bunch of positive comments, great, grand, and wonderful, it makes you feel good. But when you
Right.
see negative comments, it's almost like somebody not necessarily in your face, but at the same time, it's like somebody talked about you and then you got to read it for yourself. And it's like, well, dang,
Exactly.
what did I do to you to feel for you to feel this way? All I did was post me again laughing. And now you're trying to mess my day up.
Right. And you're trying to mess up with the people who, yeah, you're trying to pull the people away from me that like me. You know
Exactly.
what I'm saying? And then you get territorial. Don't come over here. These are my friends. Don't you try and change my friends on me.
Not using my friends.
And you can, and it can go real bad. But, and that's why you got to take a break. So when you see social media folks, when they tap out, back up just a little bit sometimes, or they don't comment to everything, or they stay off of the comments, there's a reason.
Yeah.
It's probably a mental health reason. And I'm glad I'm learning this lesson early in the game.
Sure.
But I love it. I have some great followers and I have people who understand and like yourself, they understand the power of the duet. They understand my heart. They understand what I'm trying to accomplish here and they like being part of it. And that just makes me so happy. Regardless of what I post, that the duets make me so happy. And also I like the fact that I'm talking to people on a level that they didn't know that there was a voice out here for. You know, you
Okay.
get the influencers, you get the glam girls, you get the boss people, You know, you get the athletes, you get all these great people, and then there's the ordinary people, like myself. And I, when I first met you, I said one of my favorite posts is when I talked about my cash car.
Yeah.
And I've had posts that got millions of likes and views and hundreds of thousands of shares. But when people started sharing the name of their cash cars, Henry, Bessie, my car ain't got enough, has nothing but one headlight. My car, the AC doesn't work. I've had my car 15 years. I have on my three engines. It was like everybody was, heck yeah, team no car payment. And
No.
everyone was like, I found my crew. And there's nothing, and I love it. I love that there's a voice out of us. We found each other.
So would you say that the people that participate in your content, some of your inspirations to keep going?
That is the inspiration to keep going.
Got you.
That is the inspiration to keep going. I really kind of pulled back a little bit on the questions that I asked, but I need to ask more questions because that is one of my driving forces to see other people speak on the things that they know. When I spoke one time about how I believe that college degrees became useless
Yeah,
once people of color started getting them, once Black women started getting them, when, you know, Latino people started getting them. And I mentioned, well, something along the line of only Native Americans go school for free. And there was a young woman who chimed in from her home in the living room. No, I'm Native American. We don't go to school for free. That's a myth. I had to get a loan just like everybody else. And my college degree is useless just like everybody else.
Okay.
Well, those little things like that.
I remember that post specifically because you had back-to-back discussions with people in the comments in regards to that. And I remember vividly feeling like, you know what? That makes a lot of sense. You know, as we get further and further into our growth, they stunt something else. And then we feel kind of back to square one. You know what I mean?
Oh, man. One of the things that I wish I could speak on, but it is very much so a very touchy conversation, is the fact that I am white passing. I have a perspective that most people don't have privy to. I see there's certain things through on the outside. I am a white passing woman that grew up in an all Black family. And I've lived in San Diego, California, picture perfect Navy military housing, excuse me. And I've also lived in the project in Baltimore, Park Heights, Reisterstown Road. And when you have that different perspective and people tend to get real comfortable around me because they don't know what color I am, you see things. And I want one day to be able to share the things that I see to give folks an insight on listening to it, because I see what y'all do. You're not slick. And and whatever this little problem that you have over here, don't think I didn't see you do that. And that's a big thing for me. And one day I do want to dive into that more, but that is a very tough conversation. It's a topic that I have to build the energy up for. I'm not ready to jump in that ring all the way.
Oh, no, I feel you. I would say, I was just thinking about it. I was like, come with some examples, come with something that can really soften the blow. Cause I'm looking at it and I'm like, well, how can y'all, how can I help y'all today?
How can I'll give you one simple example. And this is a simple conversation.
Sure.
How white single mothers are treated versus Black single mothers. When I'm at work and a white single mother has to take off time to take care of her kids, it is because her child needs her. Right. It is because her child has an event at school. It's because she got a divorce and she's a single mother adjusting to that life. When a Black woman takes time off to take care of her kids, you shouldn't have kids with somebody who wasn't going to help you raise them.
You know, she's doing a post right now, y'all.
I am doing a post right now, and I'm gonna go with this backlash. I'm ready for this fight.
Oh man!
Even the need to take off is treated differently.
Yeah.
You know, I need to take off because my child is sick. You know, this is the third time. Right. Alice over here, she took off because her child had a band recital. You didn't say anything.
Right.
And I see that. Not only do I see it because of I'm biracial, once again, people get comfortable around me, because I also don't have kids. You know, so my perspective is not, I'm not invested in the conversation. I just see how everybody's treated differently.
See, you're, how can I put this? I guess put it plain, you're a very dangerous person. And what I mean by that is you can surreptitiously get information to apply to your content creation and create bigger discussions and possibly create bigger movements without anybody really knowing, because the right person has your content and you're just getting it from real life experience. So you're very dangerous to the people that that would affect in a negative way, but yet help the masses that would help in a positive way.
Right. I appreciate you saying that. I do feel that way. I do feel like if I get this right, big change can come or big discussion can come.
Yeah.
But it is a battle I gotta be prepared for. It is one of those things. I'm not scared of it, but I'm not ready for it just yet.
See, and I like that you made that difference. Like, I'm not scared. I'm not worried. I'm just not prepared yet. Correct. And with that, it's interesting that you apply so much knowledge and so much wisdom into your work, and you're just learning as you go. It always feels like you're learning as you go, but at the same time, you have those moments where you can just pull back from memory and find a way to apply it to a discussion or apply it to just a creative, fun conversation. But let me ask, this might be a hard question. It may not be a hard question.
Go ahead. Hit me.
But how would you define yourself as an artist? Because there are so many different avenues that take some sort of creativity, passion, and love in order to inspire someone to either think or move. And that's an artistry in itself. So really sitting back, what would you say, Yaya is this type of artist, if you have one?
I am a conversationalist.
Okay.
And I throw in humor. I throw in experience. And I want to open the door to conversations. I am not, and I'd say, they tell you you're not supposed to do this if you want to be successful on TikTok or any other genre. I don't want to get boxed into one conversation.
Sure.
I love men, but I also don't play about men. Like, don't play with me, sir. So I don't want to be in the man bashing business.
Okay.
I love being a Black woman. I am from a Black woman, but I don't always want to be power for the people, because I do want to get a conversation started on, we need to understand why they do this shit so you can't counteract it. Right. And I didn't mean to curse.
No, you're fine. It's a free platform. Go ahead.
I do want to talk about politics, but I don't want to be heavy all the time, you know? So that's, I don't have a lane, but I am moving forward. And because I don't have a lane, I'm moving slower than most, but I'm still moving. I'm still moving. And I don't want to put myself in a lane, because I don't want to have to keep it up. I don't want to do that. I don't have the attention span to talk about one thing all the time. I don't.
Okay, so we're coining this, all right? Because again, the way that you express your artistry is art in itself. You don't have a lane, but you're moving forward. Oh,
right.
Somebody's gonna think about that and be like, "Dang, what does that mean? Oh, this was this mean to me?" Because it's open to interpretation for someone that you may inspire by this conversation. So it's like, what kind of box am I in right now? How can I get out of that box if they feel that's something they want to do? Or how can they apply what they're in, say it's beauty or say it's politics or whatever? How can they apply the idea of not staying in a lane, but at the same time still do what they love to do? So you could talk about politics all the time, but there are different ways to do so. So just by you describing yourself in that way, it's very, very powerful. And it's also very inspiring, because it allows me to understand you. And it also makes me confident in your ability, because you too understand yourself in a way that most people may not know just yet.
I am trying. It is definitely a process. I'm glad that I've gotten to this older. You know, your mindset is a little different when you're older. You know yourself a little better. And I say this all the time. The key to life is knowing yourself. Know thyself.
Yeah.
And don't start nothing you don't want to keep up. Point blank period.
That's true, because we don't have time for it.
You don't have time for it, and you don't got the energy sometimes for it. You ain't got the money for it sometimes.
Yeah, gas is too high to keep that.
Gas is too high. We try to be a foodie out here. I can't afford these French fries. I got to keep posting about this 5-course meal. I don't even want this. I can't even afford it. You know, but I'm not hating on those people who do that. Please, yeah. Don't get me wrong. I'm not hating on it, but I just know I don't want to start nothing I can't keep up, and I want to be a, I want to have variety. You know,
sure.
I'm that type of person in general.
Okay, know? I feel that. No, I get that too, because I'm definitely in the realm of wanting to expand and not just staying in one position. Like, I love photography, but I don't want to talk to just photographers. I want to talk
right.
to so many people that influence some sort of artistry in whatever they do. And when it comes to that type of influence, you've also influenced yourself to project yourself forward, I should say, through past crafts. And so I noticed that while I was doing a little bit of research, because, you know, I had to make sure I'm prepared for Yaya.
Because you come ready. I listened to all your other stuff. You come ready. They weren't ready, but he was. I know that much.
I have to. I can't half step when I have important people on, and everybody I have is important. So you have provided us with the gift of acting. Now, I haven't been able to see any of your productions, but at the same time, I definitely saw some of your headshots. I saw that you were in Dallas doing a specific play. Y'all were outside and it looked hot. So give me like a brief experience of your acting, because I mean, you're definitely very animated, and you're full of life, and I know that can be due to different types of experiences, but I know acting has to influence that. So what kind of experiences have you had as an actor?
So this is the truth. I know you, this is the truth about that. I didn't take it as far as I should have.
Sure.
And this is the lesson that I want to pass on. Don't stop. I touched on it, and I did some stage plays. I did some webisodes. I did, you know, the movie that you saw out in the Wild Wild West. I did some acting classes. I did some auditions. I even auditioned for The Color Purple.
Nice.
And then I got a grown-up job. Exactly. And then I got some furniture, and then got some shoes, and then I got a nice little place, and then I got a promotion, and then I got all of these things. And I did the 9-to-5 thing, and as life went on, I let everything else go, and I became a miserable person.
Okay.
But I didn't know why I was miserable, because I did everything that I was supposed to do at my age. And I stopped doing it. And then, like many people, COVID hit.
Right.
And the fear of me dying, not trying, was enough for me to say master reset. When I thought about people who died simply because they shook somebody's hand or sit next to somebody on the train or went to work, it did something to my spirit. And I said, I'm not going out like that. So when I took that time off from COVID, you know, like most of us, we were sitting at home, I got on TikTok.
Right.
And then I started getting that energy of entertaining and that feedback. And it reminded me what I was chasing at one point. And now I'm getting back into it. I'm now taking acting classes again. I'm now tightening ship on, if you're following my TikTok, I'm doing more skits or more comedy, things of that nature.
This is true.
More lighthearted stuff. Because I really am trying to push forward. As far as any, my advice on with anything, do not stop. Keep it moving. And now that you're going to struggle anyway, you can't put gas in the car, you can't eat anything, you know, what are you going to struggle for?
Right.
You might as well struggle on something that you're working for that's going to make you happy, or at least you could say you tried, or you struggle a 9-to-5 in hopes that they don't fire you.
Right.
You're going to be struggling anyways right now. So figure out which one you want to struggle for.
Pick a struggle, as they say.
Yeah, pick a struggle. Yes, exactly. But as far as acting, the one thing that I, piece of advice and what I've learned through acting classes that I think makes you good at it, even though I don't have a lot of advice in that realm, the reaction. It's all about the reaction. You have to act like you didn't hear it before. You have to act like you didn't know what you were going to say. You have to act like you didn't know what your step where you're going to move. Once you you master that, that's what the bests are good at. It's the reaction. And if I can master that, baby, you ain't gonna be able to tell me nothing.
I mean, speaking of reactions, one of your TikTok posts, you went into a movie that I shouldn't have watched on Valentine's Day, out of all days, but Malcolm and Marie, and you absolutely loved that movie, and it made me think about, like, all the, you know, the research I was doing on your acting, and I was like, being an artist and seeing something, mm-hmm. you know, seeing a movie and you're an actor, you know, hearing a song and you're a singer, it mm-hmm. always amplifies the experience. So give us, like, a quick breakdown from your perspective as an actor, how that movie made you feel.
First, the fact that they had so much dialogue that they had to remember. Golly, mm-hmm. I don't think mm-hmm. y'all understand. Acting is so memory based.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes you do those scenes 3 to 4 times, five times sometimes, different angles,
mm-hmm.
different perspectives. I want you to cry this time. This is why I want you to be straight face. But the fact that they were able to cry and then be serious, the fact that they hated each other at one moment, and the fact that they loved each other at the next, the fact that I can't stand you, I hope you fall on your face, to I know you, this is what you need, let me make you your macaroni because I know this is your favorite dish, even though I hate the fact that you didn't remember to thank me. That back and forth is a small snippet of what I see happens in a lot of relationships.
Sure.
You know, it was just condensed and it was intense. But that's what a lot of relationships are. One day I love you, one day I hate you. One mm-hmm. day I will never let you fall. And the next I'll push you down that damn hill.
Ooh.
And ooh. Exactly. Ooh. And I think that been there, done that, right?
Oh, I'm sorry. But I felt that when I was like, oh man. Oh.
yeah. That movie condensed it all in, but the up and downs of relationships. And then when you have these two people that probably have never spoke to each other before that movie, and will probably never speak to each other after that movie, mm-hmm. go through the emotions that people go through in relationships for years in what, a 2-hour flick, and you feel like you're with them. They're really in love and they really hate each other. It was just so magical to me. It was a magical movie. And I think what a lot of the feedback that I got was people did not appreciate the art of it.
Right.
And I wished they would, because when you pull back whatever little preconceived emotions you wanted to have with it, and you just look at the art of it, the simplicity of it, the dialogue of it, it's a really good movie. And I love the fact that it is a Black couple, not focused on struggles. They're focused on his success.
Right.
And although she had an addiction, it wasn't like it was an addiction she could not get out of. Addiction is kind of common now, really, when you think about it. A lot of people have addictions.
Sure.
But it wasn't like this grimy world thing. They're talking about new age love and struggles. And I appreciated that aspect of it.
I get that. Again, I watched it at the wrong time.
Mm.
However, I think if I watched it under a different setting, maybe. Mm-hmm. But the movie did what it was supposed to do, thinking back on it. It was exhausting.
Yes, a lot of people say that.
Yeah, it's a very exhausting movie. It's emotionally. And I think that though I didn't really get into the movie as heavy as I wanted to. I love the artistry. Mm-hmm. The fact that the black and white was great.
Mm-hmm.
The direction was awesome. Even to the little moments of humor that they added. Mm-hmm. The way he was eating the macaroni, right? I was like, mm-hmm. I did not stab yourself.
Exactly.
You know, stuff like that, to where the intense moments when she was in the bathtub and how he was really grimy. How then they come back out and then they have this happy moment. And then all Correct. Of a sudden, why did she mention this? Now they're about to be in another fight. Oh my God. I think it was purposely done because that's how toxic or really, mm-hmm. really troubled relationships feel. They feel mm-hmm. exhausting.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So
I can appreciate that about the movie, though that didn't resonate with me the way it resonated with you. I can still appreciate that art form.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that you were able to pull so much, again, with your experience in acting, it just amplifies that movie for you.
It was, I love this. Like I said, it's one of my top 20s. It's just, like you said, it's exhausting because it's a lot in a short amount of time. But that's what, like you said, toxic relationships go through years sometimes. One moment, one week you love them, one more week you hate them. And I loved it. I loved it.
All right. Well, let me ask this then, because we're going to pivot just a little bit.
Sure.
Because with acting, you know, you had your experience. You're still having your experiences now and getting back into what you love to do and being the best version of yourself. You've also done stand-up.
Oh,
So
yes.
I saw that you did Tampa Improv, and I wanted to kind of briefly touch on that because comedians get such a like hard, like just backlash, you know.
Baby.
But you definitely appreciate comedy because, you know, you like Dave Chappelle. I saw that on your page. And now that I saw her on stage, I was like, dang, first of all, you're always out. At least at one point in life, you were always out.
You're right. You're right.
Yeah,
There was
you're
though.
definitely a social butterfly. And then I saw you on stage and I was like, I want to ask, what possessed you, first of all, to be able to say, you know what, I'm gonna get on stage and tell jokes to these random people? Like, what inspired that?
I was crazy. That's what that was. I was crazy.
That's fair.
I bombed. It was horrible.
Really?
I got up there and told a joke, and I thought it was going to be the funniest thing. Not a single person laughed, and my brain shut down. It went blank. I literally had to say, snap myself out of it, and say on the mic, I forgot what I'm about to say, so I'm going to get off the stage. That's how it ended. It was bad. So after I got off the stage, I was mortified beyond belief. The announcer said, "Is this your first time doing this on the mic?" while I was walking down the steps. And the answer is yes, it is. That's how bad it was. With that being said, I got down and I sat just in shame in the corner. And this comedian, the nicest guy, he was one of the hardest working comedians in Tampa, and I'm so mad I couldn't find his name. He came up to me, and he said, "I'm gonna tell you what you did wrong. You were too cocky." And which I was. I didn't understand how hard stand-up was. I went up there thinking I could just say it all by memory. You can't. Not in the beginning, anyways. So from that, when I see a comedian who can stand up there and do a 2-hour set off memory? What? You're kidding me, right? And when they start the set with one joke and then they end the set with that same joke, tying it all together, it's genius. That wasn't by mistake. That is a 2-hour monologue. So I
So,
have an, go ahead, I'm sorry.
no, I'm sorry. No, I didn't mean to cut you off because you were just about to say you had appreciation. So I was just about to ask that question and you were about to tell me the answer.
Oh man, total appreciation for it. I don't care what anybody says. I think that being a stand-up comic is probably one of the hardest things to do in entertainment.
I could agree.
Not only do you have to remember all your jokes, you're getting an immediate reaction from the crowd. If they don't like you see their faces. If you don't get a laugh, there's silence. You can literally hear crickets in your head. And you have to be able to push through that. And the comedian who approached me, he said, "You were too focused on landing the joke, and when you didn't, you froze. This is an amateur night. You're not supposed to know what you're doing. You're supposed to be here practicing your material. And you have to remember, most of the people in here are amateurs too. So they're not really listening to you. This is a practice set. You come here, you write your jokes, you look at your notebook, and you record yourself. You find out what does or does not work." And once I realized what it would really take to do it, to be a stand-up comic, I won't do this. I won't do this. This ain't for me. This ain't for me.
You know what? That's fair. And I love how honest you are about certain things that you do and don't want to do. You don't try to
Yeah.
force yourself because, I mean, as artists, we're definitely multifaceted.
Right.
And you know, you made an attempt, and it's a good lesson
Yeah.
to for people to really listen to because it lets people know that just because you see someone do it with ease
Oh
doesn't
my
mean it was
God.
an easy process to get to that, you know, get to that place where they're at. I have so many people Well, you know what? Let's be fair. I surround myself with a lot of positive people. But every so often I think I was on Xbox one night and we were all talking. There's this random guy in there and they were telling him, oh, yeah, you know, he's a photographer, man. X, Y, and Z, blah, blah, blah. You know, we're just having a good time.
Great photographer, by the way.
Blessings to you. Thank you. So next thing you know, he was like, I mean, I can do photography. All you're doing is pushing a button. And everybody was like, oh, shit. And I didn't say anything. I was like, if that's how he feels, then great. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But if we were in person, I would definitely put the camera in manual. And my photographers, they'll know what I'm talking about. First, I'll put it in manual, change up the shutter, change up the aperture. Mm. I might even mess with the metering to be funny. But I'll just do the simple. And I'll say, hey, okay, take an image with this. It will be either under or overexposed. Mm-hmm. Change your exposure. Mm-hmm. And if you can show me that you can do that with a manual camera without asking questions, then by all means, this is natural to you. But if it's not, shut the hell up. That's how
I don't know any of those words that you said, but I know they were challenge words. I know that. I know he's not going to know those words either. I know that.
Yeah, he's not going to know the words. I wouldn't tell him which dial does what. I would just say, okay. Take this image, fix it up to where you can take an image. And now you're going to understand it's more than just taking.
It's more than that.
Just pushing the button. Mm-hmm. So, and when I see comedians, granted, I make my friends laugh, but I definitely know that.
It's different, baby. They know I thought I was so funny and charming. You are not.
It's a humbling experience for sure.
Very, very much so. But it also really made me really want to fight for comedians.
Okay.
You know, laughter is in the medicine. That, you know, I'm sorry, how do they say, let me take that back. They say, put the medicine in the food. Okay. And if you can master that, teach somebody a lesson by making them laugh or feeding them information. You got it. I know I'm saying the saying wrong, but it's something along those lines.
I got you.
And I appreciate someone who could do that. I really, really do. That it's a talent. Talent. Yeah. And that's why I fight for Dave Chappelle or any other comedian.
Sure.
If it weren't for them, we wouldn't be able to have these discussions.
Exactly.
Exactly. They make you see something from a different point of view.
Mm-hmm. I get that. And it's true. It's true. Definitely. Looking at Dave Chappelle back in the day to now, he's definitely shown growth and he allowed express it. He expresses his growth and allows us to like really feed into that. And he teaches a lesson, but at the same time, he's going to rock you with a punchline. But there's purpose behind this punchline outside of making you laugh. And when you see that, and when you hear that, and when you feel that, and it pisses off the next person, you know he's doing something.
Correct. He's shaking you in your boots.
Exactly.
But he's like, making you think about yourself.
Yeah.
Because it's a mirror. It's a mirror sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah, people.
Trevor Noah's the same way. That's why I love him so much.
That's true. Trevor Noah will definitely. I would never want to have a stern conversation with him, ever. I would have to study and read as if I was taking the SATs all over again just to make one point with that man. And I am chill enough to say, "Hey, bro, you got it."
But the thing about Trevor Noah is, in which I absolutely admire about him. I don't got it. Mm-hmm. You teach me something else that I don't know. And that's what I love about him. I don't know everything. Teach me something else I don't know.
He'll definitely do it. Shout out to him. Shout out to Dave Chappelle. Shout out to the artists out here that are inspired.
Whoopi Goldberg. I made a post. Wow. I forgot about her. She's one of the greatest. She's been in the game a long time. I remember her stand-ups when I was younger. She talked about political stuff, but she did them in skits format. She would talk about, you know, the person on the streets. She was teaching you about life on the streets, but it was funny.
Right.
And she needs acknowledgement. And I just love her.
See, I love that. I love the fact that you're able to show appreciation and with that appreciation, also learn from the people that you appreciate as well. But I do want to learn something really quickly. Mm-hmm. What's next? What is next for Yaya?
So I told you I'm taking the acting classes.
Sure.
So now I'm going to try and kind of refine more skits. I'm getting involved with a couple more people in the area and coming together and actually doing little short skits. That's something that's really important to me.
Awesome.
Coming up soon, there is a YouTuber that I'm going to get with, and we're going to look at videos and respond to the videos, and he's going to critique some of my videos with me. Art
Okay.
of Kicks, ArtofKickZ, and I'm actually going over to his set pretty soon, and we're going to be filming some stuff.
Nice.
So I'm just trying to move forward slowly but surely, get myself out there, get used to the whole networking thing, and connect with some really good people such as yourself. Just keep it moving, move it forward. You don't want to stay stagnant. I got a whole bunch of stuff I want to do.
And I see that for you, Yaya. The way that you inspire people just through conversation, just through topics that'll challenge them, but also challenge yourself for people who have different perspectives. The way that you show love by appreciating other people, the way
Thank
that you,
you.
no problem. The way that you show love by receiving information from people, because that's an act of love as well, because you're opening yourself up to allow them to be themselves. You definitely shine a light on the world and on the people around you and those who don't know you. At the same time, you definitely affect them in a positive way. I love the fact that you are in tune with yourself to know that you are great and you can always be greater. Yaya, thank you so
Thank you.
much. Thank you so much for being on the show
You
tonight.
are a pleasure. I enjoy you. I enjoy what you're doing here. I like this. Keep it pushing. And I hope to come back and chit chat with you many, many more times.
Oh, we're friends now. It's too late.
Yes, yes,
You
yes.
can get it. Now we're
That's
friends.
right.
So that's it. It's only up from here.
That's right.
Well, people, you heard it here first. Thank you again, Yaya, for coming on. Thank you again for everybody for tuning in. You can catch Creative Conversations on Spotify and also Apple Podcasts. My name is Blair, but you're my friend, so call me Brock.
That's right.
Until until next time, stay blessed and also stay creative. Peace.
Peace. Thank you.